Thanks for listening to the Friday Live Extra from NET Radio, a weekly podcast featuring arts and humanities in Nebraska, and an online-only feature we produce in conjunction with our weekly radio show, Friday Live. I'm Genevieve Randall. This week on the podcast, First Fridays, but we're not talking about all of the gallery openings that happen around town in Lincoln on First Fridays. Rather, we are talking about musical events that happen on First Fridays. A little bit later, we'll talk with Daryl White about an event that he is playing, but we start this week with a First Friday tradition at St. Paul United Methodist Church in downtown Lincoln. The St. Paul United Methodist Music and Arts Series, which hosts music at 1210 in their main sanctuary with artwork in the nearby Payne Parlor for each month, lunch served before and after the performances. Dick Morris curates the music portion of that series and joins me along with guest Nancy Youngman, who is director of the ensemble Bellissimo, which we'll talk about in just a moment. It's great to have you both here.
Thank you for having us.
So, Nancy, we've talked about Bellissimo a little bit on Friday Live before, but let's just get a little bit of history of the group and its mission.
Bellissimo started in 2002 when people called me for concerts. I directed both St. Mark's Methodist and Holy Trinity Episcopal and just grabbed ringers from both those groups that were good ringers. I knew they would come to practices, would be willing to play concerts. But in the back of my head, I really wanted to get this group going. So I was a full-time teacher. I retired 5 years ago, just with this in mind, to get this group going. Opened it up to citywide auditions. We've had up to 30-some people audition. We hold them every year in August. I keep it at 17. It's always an advantage if the people play another instrument or sing, because we always include other instruments and singing with our concerts, too. Since then, it's just been a wonderful experience. We've played all over.
And Bellissimo is a fun name.
That summer in 2002, we had been to Italy. And when I got home, we had a call for a concert, and I got this idea of pulling these people together, and I thought, I love Italian, and I just thought, okay, we're going to do that. So,
for anyone who has studied a little bit of music, if you see forte, meaning to play loud, for example, really loud would be fortissimo, right? The issimo would add onto that. I like that idea of bellissimo. Now, when you play on the First Friday concert at St. Paul, you mentioned, are there 17 bells, you said, on stage?
It's probably over 100. We have 17 ringers.
I see, 17 ringers.
We have probably over 100 bells and 5 octaves of hand chimes and percussion instruments.
Well, that makes me think of the technique, because we had a recent show that we hosted here at NET, and there was a bell choir from Seward, and people noticed you get a lot of different sounds and some different looking bells, too. Maybe you could try and describe for our listeners, what are the techniques that make some different sounds?
Handbell didn't really get real popular until the 80s. And if you go back to the early music, they wanted these different sounds, but they didn't know how to market. So there would be almost stories in the music on what they wanted
right. describing. Yeah.
And now they've gotten it down to a science. Of course, staccato, you can do what's called a thumb damp when they put their hands on the bells to make it short, or malleting. We do a lot of malleting, and it does sound then like a xylophone. We are going to play a piece that's almost totally malleted.
And in that case, the bell sits, right?
Yes.
And
well,
you strike
it. Well, they can be on the table or up. When they're up, it's a beautiful sound, almost like church bells from the tower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's martellatos, which, of course, you have in basic music. I know some people don't like that sound. It's basically they bop the bell on the table, and it's kind of a short, kind of hard sound. There's a mart lift. I always compare that to a sforzando. They hit it and then lift it so it keeps ringing, but it has an attack to it.
Wow. And who knew you could get so many colors
out of those bells?
Now, Dick, what I think is kind of fun about this is that then the McKinley bells are always played at the church there ahead of each performance. So people who attend will get to hear two kinds of bells on that particular
Friday.
These
are the church tower bells, but we have a microphone up there, so we broadcast it in the sanctuary so people can hear it.
A very different kind of playing.
Very different sound, yeah. None of the bell choir would want to ring those bells. A little heavy.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, nobody's lifting those. There's actually a different mechanism to play those. Now, there's artwork we mentioned.
That's right. And this time it's fascinating. Chris Rose now, a very fine photographer, it will be her work. And it's extraordinary. I even have some note cards of her photography, you know.
What kinds of subject matter does...
I haven't seen it yet. It hasn't arrived. All I know is it's photography. I think a lot of countryside scenes and that sort of thing.
And that is on display in Payne Parlor.
That's right.
And it's up for the whole month.
For the whole month of May, yes.
All right. Well, Dick Morris and Nancy Youngman have been here with me for this week. We've been talking about the ensemble Bellissimo, who are performing on the May 3rd St. Paul United Methodist Music and Arts Series performance. Again, the church is in downtown Lincoln, and that performance starts at 12:10. The McKinley Bells play ahead of the performance, and there's lunch before and after, along with that artwork photography this month in Payne Parlor.
What a deal.
Yeah. Well, Dick and Nancy, thanks so much for talking with me. It's been a fun conversation.
And thank you very much.
For the second part of our First Friday events featured this week on the podcast, I'm joined by Daryl White, who is on the last concert of the season for the First Friday Jazz Series at First Lutheran in Lincoln. Dr. White is also Associate Professor of Trumpet and Jazz Studies at UNL's Glencorf School of Music, and his recordings have been featured here on NET, on Nebraska Concerts, and on The Verge. Daryl, it's great to have you on the Friday Live Extra podcast this week.
Thank you.
So the performance is at 11:30 a.m. on Friday. Your trio will play around until 1 o'clock, so, you know, a good hour or so. Who's joining you for this performance?
It'll be Hans Sturm on bass and Ron Cooley on guitar. And we're going to do some, they usually have a theme of some sort. We're going to do something that centers around important music from bass players.
Important music from bass players. I'm imagining that Hans Sturm had something to do with that.
Yeah, he does. He's one of the best bass players in the country, and I wanted to feature him. I featured my father-in-law last year, and so I really wanted to do something that featured Hans.
What are some examples of music that's important to bass players?
Well, we've got people like Ron Carter, Charles Mingus, Oscar Pettiford, and they've really made some great contributions that we don't often talk about. We talk about Miles Davis and, you know, and others, but these guys have made just as significant contributions as anyone. And I couldn't think of anyone better to have played this music than Hans.
I'm told that, of course, we know you've played on this particular series before, and I'm told that you're a fan favorite there. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I'm flattered, of course. I feel like I really feed off of them as well. I mean, they make me feel so good. I mean, they clap, they get involved, they talk, and they laugh at my jokes.
That's always nice.
Yeah, it is.
So, Daryl, since you're a teacher and we've got you here to chat about this, how do you guide students in playing jazz or in improvisation?
The first thing is they have to listen a lot, so I make sure that I expose them to as much great music or great jazz music as I can, starting with the masters. So I usually go back to, you know, almost to the beginning. I start with Louis Armstrong and Miles Davis and, you know, from the 40s through at least the 70s. Because if they don't hear it, I can't really teach much if they can't. They're not listening and trying to emulate and copy. So, you know, I start with that. And then I try to get them to hear a lot of live music if possible. So hopefully they'll be at our concert.
Yeah, it makes a big difference, I think, sometimes to hear it live and watch musicians in action.
Oh, absolutely.
Which brings me to my next question. For you, when you're playing, say, written music versus improvising, what are you thinking about? Are you thinking differently as you play those different kinds of music?
You mean jazz versus classical?
Yeah.
There are some things that are different, of course. But, you know, good phrasing, playing with a good sound, and having, I always tell people it's good to have intuition. I can't teach intuition, but I feel like that's an important thing when you're a musician, to be able to respond to things that happen in classical or jazz. But I know I don't have a favorite, that's for sure. I mean, music is music, and if you play it right, you know, you're on top of the world for that moment.
Daryl White will be playing trumpet on the final First Friday Jazz Series concert. That's May 3rd at 11:30 a.m. at First Lutheran Church in Lincoln. And he's joined by Ron Cooley and Hans Sturm. Daryl, a pleasure talking with you, and have a great time playing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
The Friday Live Extra is a weekly podcast from NET Radio. Production help from Dave Hughes. Our theme music is by Alexios Anest. You can learn more about people and groups involved in arts and humanities in Nebraska by listening to Friday Live, broadcast statewide each week on NET Radio, streaming audio and video online at netnebraska.org, and also available as a podcast. I'm Genevieve Randall.